sports fans, it's time to come together at Abby's Pizza for a legendary hour with your caveman football team. We're eating legendary pizza and talking all things caveman football. Presented by the Insurance Lounge, your one-stop shop for all your insurance needs. Stop by for your free quote. Insurance Lounge. Insurance simplified.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beacon Drive, Abby's Pizza. It's time now for the Caveman Corner. We're going to talk football and some other things tonight. But first of all, they have just set here in front of us their special tonight. It's only $26.99, and that's the large half classic pepperoni and half big Hawaiian. Only $26.99. It's a special pizza that features two of Abby's most popular pizzas, half pepperoni and half Hawaiian. So whatever your tastes are, and bring a whole crowd because it'll feed a bunch of people. So that's where we're starting off tonight. And we'll get into that in just a moment. In the meantime, welcome to the table again. Head football coach, Matt Kennedy. Coach, got your feet back down on the ground yet?
We're starting to. We're getting there.
All right, well, first of all, congratulations. A great season, an exciting season. But you reached the point in the playoffs where only one team ends with a win.
Yep.
And you ran into a pretty good team last night. Tell me about that football game that you went into last Friday night up at Lake Oswego. Pretty good bunch of opponents you had there.
Yeah, I mean, and we knew going in that looking at film, that might be the most talented team, certainly offense, that there is in the state.
We agree.
Yeah. And so we knew it was going to be a challenge right from the start. They were huge. They were fast. They didn't have a weakness. At the same time, you know, I was I was proud of our kids. You know, I think it showed some growth. Week two, we went up and played Willamette, another team that was kind of chock full of talent. And I think we were a little bit wide-eyed and nervous. And we didn't necessarily play our best game early on. And this game... again, regardless of what the final score says, we came out and we weren't intimidated and we were determined to play hard and kept our heads up the whole time. And going midway through that second quarter, it was a ball game. And our kids were battling.
No doubt about that. And this was a much better team than Willamette.
Yes.
And that's already been proven. Early on, well, two plays into the game, their big running back, Bell, got free. Boom, you're down 7-0. But you came back. And let's see, got a field goal. A turnover deep in your own territory. Another touchdown. Suddenly it was, 14-10?
Yeah.
14-10. And then Mr. Traylor made a great catch on a crossing pattern and then fumbled, and that seems to be when the wheels fell off.
Yeah, they...
Is that fair?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, that drive kind of marked a point in which, you know, we were still feeling pretty good. If we're going into halftime, I think they had scored. It was 21-10. We had the ball. We were driving. We picked up a first down and then fumbled it on that catch. And within about 3 minutes, they'd scored 21 points, and it was 42-10 at halftime. And yeah, and great teams are going to do that. They're going to pounce when they have opportunities, and the wheels fell off there for a little bit. But up until that point, you know, we'd forced a turnover, we'd gotten a stop, we'd recovered an onside kick, we'd driven the ball down the field. We were competing, and the kids were believing in it, and it was great to see.
All right, now that one aside, and we'll let that one go. Once again, congratulations. But there are some other bright spots through the season. We kind of want to review the season tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go through. We can pass over some of the low spots. All right, but you came out and picked up an opening season win against North Medford, the Black Tornado. Traditional rival. Right off the bat, you're 1-0, and North Medford's been beaten. How'd you feel about first of all, how'd your team feel going into that? And how'd you feel coming out of that game?
Well, I know we were excited, you know, that especially to open with kind of the arch rival that a lot of these kids on the team have played against for a long time. There was a lot of excitement. There was a lot of build up. There's a lot of hype, rivalry game right off the bat, and to come out and play the way that we did.
That's been the rivalry for decades.
Yeah,
for decades.
Yep, absolutely. And I think our kids and theirs, right, had it pinned on the calendar as a great way to open the season, and to come out in front of the home crowd and play and get a win to set the tone for the season was great.
All right, so you're really rolling, then you go on the road and face Willamette in the very next game. And it was less one-sided than certainly the last game. Scored 21 points on a pretty good football team there. What did you know about your team after that game?
Well, you know, I mean, we knew that we weren't going to back down from anybody, you know, that we had a group that was tough and was willing to compete. We also knew, and as we've talked about, that the growth that we want to make as a program, both as far as how we handle adversity, which we got way better at as the season went on, and then from year to year, the size and the strength we need to gain in the weight room was kind of revealed in a couple of those games. But ultimately, as far as this season was concerned, we had a group of kids that were going to compete every night, and they weren't going to back down.
After putting up 21 points against Willamette, you must have come out of that feeling like, you know, we've got the people that we can score. We can score on about anybody. Is that the right feeling?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know that game necessarily is from internally really changed the way we saw it. Because we believe that, you know, right from the start. We didn't put up a ton of points in that North Med game. It was a defensive battle. But we knew all along that, you know, we had some weapons, and it was just a matter of time to find our footing and get our run game going. And that next week against North Salem is when that kind of took off.
Yeah, you put up over 50 points, so you knew how to score at that point.
Yeah.
You also found out that your defense was allowing a lot of scores, too, at that point. I think, 56 to 42 was that score.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we went through a stretch there where we played some pretty dynamic teams. Willamette, obviously. North Salem's tailback was, you know, first team all conference kid, their wide receiver. They were explosive and dynamic. We sat here that Thursday before the game and talked about how we were going to establish the run game, and we went out and Trayton Powers broke the school record that game, rushed for over 300 yards. And yet at the same time, we stayed pretty balanced despite doing that and won in a different way. We beat North Med in a defensive battle in a rivalry game. We beat North Salem in an offensive shootout.
Talk about offensive shootouts. A very nice game, South Salem. I'm going to talk about Mr. Powers again.
Yeah. Yeah, back-to-back weeks. He goes out and breaks the school record again. In fact, in that game, we broke the school record for receiving yards in a game and rushing yards in a game. Something, as I think we covered, you don't do that in the same season, let alone the same game, just because you're typically a running team or a passing team. And that really kind of showed that we are pretty explosive in a variety of different ways.
You got a lot of different ways to score.
Yeah.
63 to 55 was that score. That was incredible. That was hard to keep up with, though.
Yeah.
All right, coming back, get your feet back on the ground. South Medford. A win against South Medford. So after this next game, you've beaten both Medford schools. Not a big score against South Medford, but 21-7. So your offense is still scoring, and your defense is working suddenly.
Yeah. Against both Medford schools, our defense came to play. You know, they had a lot of pride in trying to shut down. We knew South Medford was a good team, and they haven't lost since they played us. They were big and they were physical, and we took pride in stopping their run game and really did a great job of that all night long. And they're also one of the better defenses around, and so super happy with that win at the end. And that was our theme going into that week was, hey, boys, we have a chance to beat both Medfords. We don't do that often. We haven't done that often. Let's take advantage of it. And the kids came out ready to play.
Just point out, South Medford's still playing.
Yep.
They are there. In the lower bracket, that's the Columbia Cup. And I think they're poised to win it, quite frankly. When you put that kind of team with a coach like Mr. Sengler up there, they're going to be tough to beat in that bracket.
Yep.
Okay, so we said go Panthers here. It's all right. We're not playing them right now. Then non-conference game against Silverton. But Silverton, at that point, was the number 2 at 5A team in the state and had a great record. Tell me about that game.
Yeah, and Silverton's playing in the semis this week.
Yeah, they're playing. They're still playing, too.
Yeah, and a very good football team. To me, that was a turning point in the year for us as a group. We came back having gotten beat pretty good. And talked about how we respond to adversity, because we went back on that game and watched about a 4-minute stretch where they scored, recovered an onside kick, scored again, we turned it over, and basically, boys, we can play with that team, but mentally we got discouraged, and from that point on, I think we saw a pretty mentally tough team the rest of the way, and that really helped carry us to a couple of big road wins in the playoffs later.
Yeah, another trip right after that too. The next game was Sprague. That was a tough one for you. A loss, 32-21.
Yep. And again, the cool thing about it is, you know, that journey of making progress. You'd like to say it, you flip a switch and you win the next week, and we didn't. But we went up and played a really tough team on the road. It was 8-0 at half. Then it turned into an offensive shootout in the second half. And really, we have the ball with about 2.5 minutes, driving down the field with a chance to take the lead and win that game, turn it over. They return it, score. We battled in that game. We handled adversity. We came up a little bit short, but we learned something about ourselves that we were able to take on the road a couple weeks later and apply into a win.
32-21, that final score. Now, the next game in a row, another feather in your cap. You beat Sheldon. You beat Sheldon. It was our turn at home, final score, and that one was 34-10. You want to talk about that game?
Yep. Again, an opportunity for us to kind of, let's lick our wounds. Let's get off the couple of losses. We knew at that moment that our fate was still in our hands, and we had an opportunity to take out Sheldon, a team that's kind of, and as I said to the boys, I mean, this team has wreaked havoc in this conference since before you were born. And we have an opportunity to go out there and really knock them out of the playoffs and put ourselves in a good position and do it in front of our home crowd. And so the kids came back fired up and ready to go.
That's the first win against Sheldon. Well, you were going to say a long time since before they were born. I think the last win against Sheldon, they had a young quarterback by the name of Herbert.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert.
Yep.
And we actually beat him. I think that was his junior year.
We beat him his junior year. In fact, in that game, I was the defensive coordinator at the time, and he broke his femur.
Right.
In the first half of that game, and yet somehow they got better. Believe it or not, they lost Justin Herbert and became a more dangerous team.
Now, he came off of the gridiron, but he didn't leave the field until that game was over. That's how tough that young man was.
Yep.
A lot of respect for him.
Yep.
And you beat him, coach.
Yep, exactly.
All right, so we like to relish in that a little bit here. That was a great one. West Salem up next, and that was a head-scratcher going into it. What was going to happen there? What happened was good. Tell me about West Salem.
Yeah, I mean, to me, these next 2 weeks are kind of the feather in the cap of a team that got better every week, better than before, right? We would take our losses. We learned. We gotten some big wins. We travel up to West Salem, our fifth trip to Salem, on Halloween night to play a gigantic team that's poised to finish second in the conference. They return the opening kick for a touchdown. We're down our starting tailback.
7 seconds into it, you're down seven.
Yep, our tailback is not playing in that game. We lose two other players in that game, and we come out with a victory. And the grit that team showed was really a product of a season's worth of improvement. And that win sets us up for a favorable playoff matchup the following week.
And that matchup was against the Sherwood Bowmen on a cold night in a not a very friendly environment. Once again, pull out a win against an offense that still leaves people scratching their heads. That works for them. Didn't work that night.
Yeah. Yep. No, that was a... Again, kind of building off of that week before, because in our minds, West Salem was a playoff win, too, right? I mean, both in the sense that perennially West Salem is not in our conference and has been team we've played in the playoffs, and in that if we lose that West Salem game, our playoff fate looks a little different. So it was a must-win game. Yeah. We win that one.
Also clinch second place.
Yeah, clinch second. And then get an opportunity to go play a Sherwood team that's been a perennial, you know, top-tier team in the state at their place. Another long bus trip. But... at that point, the kids believed, right? And they were pretty determined to go up there, knowing that they had an opportunity to advance to the quarterfinals, another kind of feather in the cap of a season full of accomplishments. And we came out, and whatever it took, I mean, it wasn't pretty the whole time, but those boys, they emptied the tank in that game, and we came out with a win.
All right. And we've talked about the final game of the season against Lake Oswego already. And one question about that Lake Oswego game, we noticed that Rosetta was his non-throwing arm. He was resting that a lot. Was he hurt or?
He took a lot of hits. He took a lot of hits. They were big and physical. He took a face mask to the elbow area, and he was banged up.
Just had a stinger. There was basically.
Yeah.
But he's all right.
He's okay. Yep.
Right, well, we'll find out what the basketball coach has to say about that. In a few minutes, folks, we're expecting Nate Olson in here momentarily. So, look, do any one of those games really stand out as a feather in your cap, or was it a transition? Was everyone an advancement?
I think really, and maybe months from now, or I'll look back and something will stand out as a more definitive deal. Off the top of my head, I really think that West Salem game was a monumental win. I mean, it might be overstating it, but just as far as the trajectory of what we're trying to do as a program, getting that win was huge. And I just remember the smile that we had as coaches in the team room and on the bus on the way back, that we pulled off that win and gave ourselves the opportunity.
I heard your coaches coming out of their coaches' box. Yeah, they were a little excited.
That was a great win.
Yeah, no question about that. All right, Coach, congratulations. A 7-4 record, second in conference, into the quarterfinals of the playoffs. Great season, and congratulations. Coach of the Year. What did that mean to you, Coach of the Year?
It was flattering, certainly, and a validation of what we're trying to do as a program. And I think I said last week, it's an individual award, but especially with Coach of the Year, I've got a staff of 17 guys, and it's not like I'm out there coaching wide receivers and defensive backs and offensive line. They're helping me, obviously, with that, but they're also helping me instill the culture that we want K-Man football to be about. And so it's a staff award, and I happen to be the name that goes on the certificate.
All right. Your word, and that's a word that we bounce around a lot, is culture. Something that you have cultivated since, I imagine, the opening practices, culture. And all of your kids, all of your young men really seem to buy into that. In retrospect, did you expect that kind of response from your guys?
I hoped to. Again, barring the separate from the senior class, these underclassmen, I'd coached at the freshman level, and in that own kind of smaller level, tried to instill some of that culture. So it wasn't a shock to the system for a lot of those guys, and it was the passion that drove me to apply for that job to begin with. Was the culture? Was the ability to use football to accomplish off the field things? And so, I was pleased with how it turned out, but it was the expectation. I mean, that was what was most important to me, and I made that clear with my assistant coaches. And the buy-in was what I had hoped, but it was also what I expected.
You mentioned some off-the-field accomplishments through that culture. Any that you'd like to highlight or share with the people?
Well, I mean, as a collective group, and I think I've said it over the air, but we, as a JV varsity program, did over 800 hours of community service, starting in May and continuing really through the start of football in August, which averaged out to be over 10 hours per kid. You know, the program requirement was you had to do 5 in order to be eligible to play. Every kid met that, but then to average over 10. We want to be a program that contributes to the community that really supports us, probably better than just about anywhere. And so we want to entertain on Friday nights, but we want to do more than that. And I was real proud of that. We have some kids in our program that are, valedictorians, and they're leading the orchestra. Andrew Jensen was here 1 week, just a kid.
Cello player.
Yeah, playing the cello at really an elite level, taking AP classes. And I could go down the list and list off just a bunch of kids who are excellent football players, but they're really striving to be excellent. And that pursuit of excellence is a phrase we have at the top of our kind of, cover sheet. And these kids are really doing that.
800 hours of community service, that's pretty significant. Can you share with us any of those projects that we're involved in, or are the projects that you're looking for?
Yeah, actually, that'd be great. I mean, one of the things, I just want to continue to grow that. And so if there are listeners out there who have businesses or have ideas where they need and would like Caveman football to get involved, please reach out to me because I'm open to it. This year we
they're strong young men, guys.
Yeah,
they're strong.
They're capable. We helped out with the active club for Boatnik weekend, and I think put in over 100 hours collectively helping set up and serve and do a variety of things for that. We went out and picked pears over in Medford during daily doubles. I think we ended up picking 16,000 pounds of pears that all go to food banks that are shipped across the world to feed those that don't have food. We had boys helping set up for local events at the fairgrounds. And so, yeah, a variety of different events. But we're looking for things that, hey, we can get 15, 20 football players with a Caveman football shirt out there representing and helping out.
All right, so... We'll share your phone number, at least your email with us sometime. All right. First time as a head coach. A lot of coaching experience. You're certainly no stranger to the football field, both as a player and a coach. Coming here, your very first season as a head coach, that responsibility grows, it broadens. How did you feel coming into this particular adventure? And I guess it started, probably last February?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really when things get rolling.
Yeah, I think that's when they made the decision and hired the position, and then it was it was hit the ground running, hire a staff and get going with everything else. I've been around coaching for pretty much my entire adult life. I'd been a head girls basketball coach for a few years, much different as far as the magnitude of the program that I'm running. I'd been around a couple of great head coaches, Jim Fagoni for years at Hidden Valley, and then John Musser at GP, and had seen the way programs can and should be run. Was not blind or naive to what I was getting myself into. Had a wife who was amazingly supportive all season long.
And still a happy wife?
Yeah, still a happy wife. At least that's what she says. No, she was awesome. And my kids, too, because you can't commit the amount of time that it takes to do what we've done without the support of family. And so I'm super appreciative for their support of me as well.
All right, well, I asked what it felt like at the beginning of that season when you first got the job. And, of course, it's a full-time job, basically. Now, at the end of it, you got a little break here, but how do you feel at the end of it here? And it's really not the end of it, because I know you're still crossing T's and dotting I's, and you've got a banquet coming up, I think, on December 4th. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes.
Something like that?
Yep.
So then you take a little break, and I imagine you get your coaches together and start planning for next year sometime in late January or February. Is that fair?
Yeah.
But in the meantime, right now, where is your head right now about... I did this well. This is what I can improve on. Was it worth it at the time? All that effort putting into it? Where's your head right now in terms of looking back? Have you had time to do that yet?
A lot of the reflection will probably take place more December, early January.
Need a little more time, huh?
Yeah. Where I'll do every coach should do a pretty thorough reflection on, okay, and I'll have conversations. We'll do end-of-year evals with my assistant coaches and have conversations around what we liked, what we'd like to see different. It's football season and any season. It's a grind. It's a long haul of a deal. I still feel pretty energized. I mean, I'm ready to. We could go again this week, absolutely. But
how are you going to feel on Friday night when you've got no place to go?
Oh, I know. I know.
I'm going through that too.
Yeah. Yeah. We got some people. We're going to come over and hang out Friday just to take my mind off of that. But there's also, it's an important time to recharge also and to kind of recommit to some other things and to my family. And so I'm excited to if it were truly 365 days a year, it would be tough. So the fact that you're committing these massive amounts of energy for seasons and then you have those reprieves, I'm going to take advantage of that reprieve also.
Well, by all means, you should. All right. Careful topic next. Tell me about your seniors.
Yeah. No, it, you know,
some of these guys have hung up those football pads for the very last time ever.
Yeah. You know, and I feel like going into those last couple of weeks, it's that fine line between making sure the boys are appreciating the opportunity that's fleeting and without, saying that the season's coming to an end. And we talked about that. Coach Williman, who's been a head coach for a long time, he gave the phrase that, like, the days are long and the seasons are short. And that was something they heard from us all the time, that especially you seniors, I mean, it's a grind on Tuesday, but four Tuesdays from now, it's over. And you're going to want this back. And I feel like we did a pretty good job of savoring the moments. And that senior group, small group, again, as I said, kind of unknown to me. We didn't know each other. I didn't coach at all the year they were freshmen. But the buy-in from them was great. The leadership from them was great. We didn't have a ton of key contributors from that group, but their commitment to showing up every day. And in fact, that senior group vastly led the community service hours, right? So they're that group that kind of really dove into doing stuff off the football field, and they'll be missed.
Any names in particular you'd like to sort out?
Well, I mean, I'll mention all of them because they all deserve it. You know, we had Ethan Tetzloff, Brendan Shaw, Kane Evans. Those are three kids who didn't have hugely prominent roles on the field on Fridays, but their attitudes were awesome. They were well respected and liked by their teammates. You could probably walk the halls now and hear people yelling "Bishaw." That became kind of a joke, a refrain, a term of endearment for the whole season. Those kids came to the weight room all summer long. They stayed positive the whole year. You know, they were great. Houston Ely probably goes into that same category also. A kid who's been talked about here for his boat racing prowess. And when I met with him a couple times this season, he was just glad to be a part of it, got an opportunity to play with his brother. I mean, he's going to be missed. Ty Dungy was one of our team captains, and Reed Rhodes. And those were guys who delivered all season long on leadership. And then you had Weston Berg, a guy who unfortunately got injured in that West Salem game when he had finally gotten an opportunity to play some running back. Consummate teammate.
Had a great first half.
Great first half, right? And just a great teammate all year long. Waited for his opportunity. When his number was called,
that's
he always stepped
yards
up.
Yards in that first half.
Yeah. And thankfully, I think I just talked to him today. He's hopeful to be back in the next couple of weeks for basketball.
It wasn't as severe as we thought.
No, enough to hold him out of contact for football until the end of the season. But he should be back. Colton Markey played offensive line for us. Another kid who played 4 years in the program, paid his dues, bided his time, and there is a senior ended up starting on the offensive line for us and earning an all honorable mention all league, which was just a big testament to what happens when you commit and you just keep working. And he did just a great job. And then Nate Bassett was really an anchor for us on both sides of the ball. Just somebody we could count on, played pretty much every snap of football on offense and on defense. And a kid I'm super proud of. I mean, his body was banged up by the time it was all said and done, but he showed up day in and day out and got the job done for us.
All right. You nailed them all, Coach. All right. Well, if you nailed all of those, tell me about some of the talents you've got coming back. I know some of the coaches around the league are saying, and have said, or even coming into this part of the season, you've got some really good, specialty kids, some talented young players that have real special skills. I think Hill and Rosetta stand out among those two, but don't let me focus on those two because I know there are many more.
There are. I mean, one thing you already start doing is you start penciling depth charts, right, even for next year, and it's a competitive depth chart, I'll tell you that. And that'll be a theme that these boys will hear is like, hey, next season, nothing's been earned for next season, and there's going to be some work that needs to get done, and there's some guys that are going to have opportunities to surprise, but there is a fairly large group of experience coming back. We had a lot of junior and sophomore players, and even at the JV level, some kids that are pretty talented and are anxious to kind of make an impact, but we should be returning, I want to say, 16 of the 20 17 starting positions next year. which is promising, but at the same time, we got some work to do. We can't just roll the ball out there in August and think that because we were good last year, we're going to be good this year. And this kid won't, because this group, they're pretty hungry. They're pretty motivated. And that's probably what's most exciting about it.
You said you've got some work to do. Is that just in general, or are there specific areas where you'd like? I know you'd like to have about three or four 300-pound linemen.
Yeah.
None of those have transferred in recently, have they?
Nothing yet. Nope. Nothing yet. There's a theme, and we made huge strides this year, but to be super competitive at an elite level in 6A football, you have to push weight around. And so the commitment that we put into the weight room over the next 8 months is an opportunity for us to close that gap with some of those teams. And so that's where a lot of that energy and effort is going to go, is into just improving our overall size and strength.
Okay. And we also hear lots of rumors about, even coming up out of the middle schools, that the future looks bright ahead for Grants Pass at all levels here athletically. There's a good group coming up. Is that a fair assessment? Is that what you've seen?
I think so.
And how far down in those middle schools do you reach? Does your influence go down?
Well, I have a son who's a sixth grader.
So pretty far.
And a nephew who's a fifth grader. And so I've been coaching kids that are in that from fifth grade through the seventh grade groups. I've been coaching in a variety of sports. So I'm familiar kind of with at about that fifth grade level right now. That, I mean, at that point, there's a lot that changes between fifth grade and varsity football. But there's a lot of kids out there right now that are excited to play sports and to be a part of Grants Pass High School, whether it's the baseball, football, basketball, track. And we just want to keep that momentum and energy going in a positive direction.
Those young programs, do you cross paths with their coaching staffs also, and are they all playing your schemes? Do you tell them exactly what you're looking for?
We did this year. I mean, we plan on doing it more, but we did have a coaches meeting with the tackle youth program, and we had coaches that were really kind of hungry to help and to be a part of KBAM football. I don't mandate they run exactly our scheme. We put some emphasis on how we tackle and the terminology we use and some of the expectations about behavior. And they've bought into that. This year, we're hoping to host a couple of coaching clinics for those at the youth level that want to learn more and grow as coaches. And so to that extent, yes, you know, we did meet some and hopefully can do a little bit more now that we've got a full off season to set aside time for that.
Okay, put full off season in quotes, ladies and gentlemen, because that full off season, once again, we mentioned probably goes through the end of December and then the end of January. When does it really start for you again? When do you get your coaching staff back together and say, okay, what are we looking at for next year?
We've already talked as a staff. We'll have a coaches meeting in January. Just at this point, we all have met with each of them individually, and January will be kind of the let's lay out what clinics we want to go to and what our spring calendar might look like, and start talking scheme. It's a process. We're not majorly rushed for it, but we'll begin that here in January, February.
All right. We've got some more to talk about here, and we're going to do that, folks. But we do have to take a little break here. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon. News is coming up right here at 99.7 FM, 1270 on AM band and streamed at KAJO.com.
Evergreen Federal Bank, serving our community and serving you locally. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
99.7 and 1270 KAJO, Grants Pass.
News on Tom Rigotti. Word of a draft peace proposal crafted by U.S. officials and Russia to end the war in Ukraine. Fox's Greg Palkota has reaction from London.
Ukrainian officials claim the plan is biased towards Moscow, forcing Ukraine to give up territory the Russians haven't taken, cutting Ukraine's army in half, relinquishing long-range weapons, banning foreign troops on Ukrainian soil. The Kremlin sounding determined about a country it wants to influence.
President Trump is reportedly supporting the plan. The president is threatening military action in Nigeria over accusations that the West African nation is permitting genocide of Christians.
The Trump administration says it's developing a plan to compel the Nigerian government to protect Christians from persecution. The announcement coming at a House Foreign Affairs Committee hearing as it looks into the president's redesignation of Nigeria as a country of particular concern.
That's Fox's Aisha Hosni. America's listening to Fox News.
Hi, I'm Scott Leiter. You may know me as the dog guy. My dog, Elizabeth, the number four owner-handler pointer in the U.S., and myself, well, we wanted to tell you that I'm super excited to be a part of the exclusive team of sales pros at Rowe Motors. I've been in Southern Oregon auto industry for a little over 20 years now, and I'm ready to bring my experience and enthusiasm to the team. I'm telling you, now is the time to shop. We have incredible incentives. Back that up with honesty and hard work from all of us at Rowe Motors. And I can guarantee you will have a wonderful buying experience. Rowe Motors has been doing this kind of thing in Grants Pass for over 40 years. And with that comes high-quality customer service before, during, and after the sale. At Rowe Motors, the choice is all yours to sell your car for cash, trade up to a newer vehicle, whatever you want. You'll love Rowe Motors as much as I do. Come see Scott Leiter, the dog guy. You'll find me and Lizzie Bith at Rowe Motors on 7th Street between E and F.
Welcome back to the Beacon Drive, Abby's Pizza, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Caveman Corner, where we've been hosted all football season long, courtesy of our good friends at the Insurance Lounge. Once again, courtesy of Abby's Pizza here tonight. And we've been talking about the football season with head coach Matt Kennedy and talking about things. And we're to the point here now where we're talking about next year and the progression that you make now. Your players do other sports too. They're not just football players. I know there are baseball players involved, there are basketball players involved, track players. How do you keep in touch with your football boys throughout all of this? And what kind of meetings do you have throughout the spring and then getting into the summer programs?
Yeah, and that's a big thing that I and we as a program, not that it hasn't been done before, but. I want these kids doing other sports. We've incentivized it with our Ultimate Caveman competition, which points can be earned by doing other activities and sports. What exactly the off season looks like is partly going to be shaped by conversations with coaches, but I'm a big less is more, a believer in less is more. What I ask of these kids when they show up in August is a lot. And and we've got a bunch of them in an AST weight training class, and so what we're doing in the spring might be a little bit less than what some other programs are, but we'll see.
All right, and throughout the summer?
Summer, yeah, I would imagine. I really liked what we did this summer. We had a pretty intense weight training program. We did a lot of in-house stuff. We had a team camp at the high school where we slept in the classrooms, and I'm not exactly sure what it'll look like, but I know there was a lot of positive energy produced by what we did, so probably something similar.
All right. Head basketball coach has joined us. Nate Olson, scoot right up there, Nate, because although you've got, much like Matt, a great basketball background, but this is the first time as a head coach, and you two shared that this year. What have you seen from him that you're going to try to pass along to your basketball program that's already practicing right now?
I mean, with the success they had, hopefully everything. But, no, I think, you know, watching Matt, just the culture he's built, I think trying to build off of that. Him and I have had multiple conversations about what they're doing. And I've had multiple conversations with football kids of what are you guys doing that you're enjoying and what's helping you build that culture? What are you guys, and at the same time, what things are, would you like to see done differently too? They've been open and honest with me about that. And so I think it's been a good blend. And we have some leaders coming back that are some football kids. So I think that's going to kind of be a trickle down effect for our younger kids.
I know conditioning is important to both sports. And I know both sports rely on the weight room, but I imagine it's different from football to basketball. Either one of you want to jump in and share that with me?
I really don't know that it's much different. You know, when both Matt and I first started, it was kind of like, hey, I want to get the kids in the weight room. And Matt's like, so do I. And instead of trying to, like, kind of like Matt said, less is more. Instead of trying to say, hey, you're going to do basketball for an hour and then lift and then go do football for an hour and then lift, it was like, hey, let's just combine the lifting. Play basketball, then they can lift, and then they can
go to football. So the same lifting disciplines apply to each sport.
I think the goal is to get bigger, stronger, faster. And no matter what sport that is, I mean, sure, basketball might be more plyometrics, you know, jumping up and down, but it's still explosion, stop and start, things like that. All the things that they were working on. And, you know, his group did a great job in the summer, and I just kind of just try to stay out of the way so I didn't slow him down.
All right. Did you scold him real bad for letting Berg get hurt?
I didn't scold him too bad. I just gave him a stern looking at.
Is there much interplay between the two? I know you're super busy during your individual sports, but looking at the way Grants Pass Athletics goes with everybody playing every sport that they want to, is there interplay between you two?
Between just as coaches?
Yeah, as coaches.
I think that's something that we're hoping to build more of. I mean, it is hard to find the time to sit down and collaborate, but what we have going right now is between the baseball, the basketball, the track, and the football program is four coaches that are all new within the last 2 or 3 years. Roughly the same age, roughly the same kind of vision, I think, for athletics. And so hopefully, I mean, it's been a good start, at least from my end, and hopefully it's something that collaboration can continue.
I think what I was looking for is if you sit down together and says, what can we do that your football program that will help my basketball program? Are there areas where you overlap in that particular situation?
Yeah, I think so. I said early on, Matt did the ultimate caveman thing, and it was something that I sat down and said, "Hey, this sounds like an amazing idea. What are the goals? What are the point systems?" A little bit kind of challenging because we're in the middle of the year, so I think football, like in the summer they can do the more of the, you know, community outreach, things like that. My players don't even know yet, but each of them, your varsity athlete, is going to contribute to an AAU program and be a part, try to get some practices, and just be around the kids. Because I keep telling them, I don't care if you're the 10th man on the bench or a starter, you know, the kid, that fourth grade, fifth grade kid, if you come to their practice and they see you on Friday nights, they're gonna love every second of it. They don't know any better. You are a caveman basketball player, and that is all they see in their eyes, and it's amazing to them.
So both programs giving back. I salute you both. Congratulations once again on an incredibly winning season and success, and looking forward to more of that. And okay, now, Nate, what are you going to do for me next? Is that a fair question or not?
Yeah, sure.
You've had 4 days of practice. I mean, come on.
Basically, we got it all figured out, so don't worry. I think the biggest thing is building on that culture that Matt set with those kids, and then taking that and those football kids really kind of, I said, that trickle-down effect, that they can bring that into our program and kind of make it, like Matt did a great job of just making kids want to be there, and that's what I'm trying to instill too. It's like, let's, I want you to want to be here. Let's make it fun. Let's make it competitive. But at the end of the day, you got to have a good time when you're doing it. Again, especially basketball season, you know, it's the longest season. It crosses holidays and things like that. And so when you're 2 months into it, it's a grind. You got to want to be there. So my goal is to make the kids want to be there, want to have fun, and just be super competitive. So I think that's what the kids at the end love doing. So really trying to instill that in all those guys.
All right, both of you talked about culture, and we know that was a big part of the football program, and sounds like you want that to spill over into your program too, Nate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's where it's got to start. If you have a culture that's not, that kids don't want to be a part of, they're never going to work hard for you. They're never going to do what you ask them to do. They're kind of half in, half out. And I think, you know, you breed a good culture and those kids want to buy in, and you get more kids coming out. Your kids are talking about it, and that's what you want to do. You want those kids to go out to their friends, hey, man, you want to come on, play basketball. Come on, play football. It's an amazing time. We do it, you know, coach is great. It's really not even the coach is great. It's more like we have a really good time and we're successful at it.
All right. At this point, what are you seeing in terms of success? You've got some players coming back. Some of the names that we keep talking about all year long is Ben Rosetta, certainly is one. And I know I think he averaged about 17 points a game last year. So he's your big guy coming in about 6'5". And that's the biggest we've got. We're still looking for those 7-foot transfers coming in.
No transfers yet of that size. Yeah, I mean, Jordan's obviously coming back. Was a first team all conference kid, so that'll be great for us. James Traylor was a kid that got a lot of varsity minutes last year as a freshman. So I think, again, getting his feet wet last year, I think coming in this year, he's a lot more confident, kind of understands his role and that he can be pretty aggressive. Because
coming in as a sophomore, it sounds like he's got a significant part in your plan.
You know, that's the plan. So we'll see. I think it's just more of, you know, James just taking the, you know, kind of the bull by the horns and just go running with it. And then another kid, Grady McKittrick, that got, you know, started last year for us. He's put a ton of time in this summer in the weight room, getting shots up. This summer at a couple games, I think he had 35 a few games in our summer stuff. I think somebody that can really, I think is going to blossom and be successful. Then we had, you know, we got a lot of those younger kids, you know, the Ely boys. Branson Young's a sophomore that's going to play a part. Abisai Amaya's another sophomore that's probably going to get some run. And then we'll just see what the other, you know, Caden Denman's coming back off an injury. But again, I keep telling the guys, you know, we split today for the first day. You know, I kind of, the varsity, as we call it, group went to one side and the JV group went to the other side. And I just told those kids, nothing's for granted. You know, the job of that kid, the get guys on the far end, is to take the job of the guys on the close end. And those guys on the close end need to keep working. I don't care, again, your first team all-conference team last year, that's great, but that's also last year and that's not this year.
All right, what kind of personality are we going to see from this Caveman Roundball team?
You know, I mean, hardworking, you know, gritty. I think we're pretty athletic. Not like it's to play just basketball, but I think we're, you know, so defensively we're going to try to get up into you, make it tough, and then really try to get out and use our athleticism, get out and run. You know, I was joking with one of my assistants today saying, I think we might just go run some routes, have James and Bronx run some routes and see if we can get open and get some shots up. But, you know, really trying to play, you know, five out, spread the floor. You know, Jordan is a big guy, but he has the skill set to kind of, you know, dribble the ball, passes extremely well. But I think it also, you know, plays to the strengths of those other guys, that just using their quickness and spacing of the floor.
Well, with Jordan, and we know he's a rebounder and a scorer. McKittrick, same situation. Who else going to really be in there fighting for those rebounds, which become real crucial?
Yeah, you know, I mean, James plays that role. He's not the biggest kid, but he kind of plays, you know, that 4-5 for us. He has to mix it up. Branson Young is probably, you know, said 6'2", 6'3". Super active, just high motor, high energy. I mean, he's that kid that I think if I said we need to run into that wall right there to get us five more points, he would do it without question. You know, we keep talking about him in Westonburg. He might be, you know, 5 foot nothing, but he's got the heart of a lion, and he is the grittiest kid you're going to meet, and he knows, and he's not bashful about knowing that he's just going to.
That's
grind.
The spirit. That's the real spirit of a caveman.
It really is. He really emphasizes that. It's really going to be by committee. You know, we're not going to rely. We're not big enough to say, hey, one or two guys are going to rebound for us. We're going to rebound by committee, and then, you know, try to get out and run.
All right. We had lunch today, so we've talked a lot about this before. But tell me about the schedule that you got coming up. First of all, let's get through December, because, golly, you're going to open up with Lincoln High School here in Grants Pass. What's that, on the 5th?
Yeah, that's correct. So, yeah, we'll see what they got. So we played them last year. They have a new head coach up there. Guy, I think, from out of Southern California, did some college stuff, and now he's coaching up there. So it'll be different to see what kind of style they ran. But we'll get a look at them. They usually play a jamboree the 3rd, and usually somebody posts it, so we'll try to get a look at them. But, again, it's about being us. We got to be competitive. This summer we learned, you know, when we give 100% effort, we're pretty good. And when we don't, we're going to lose some games that we probably shouldn't lose. So I think it's really just instilling in the guys, hey, we got to be consistent with our effort. We got to work hard all the time.
In December, the home fans do have a couple of chances to see you. Lincoln is a home game. Your next game is an away game all the way over to Crater High School. So there's another opportunity to really get a good close look at what's going on with the Caveman. Know anything about Crater at this point?
Yeah, we played them this summer.
They don't have another Nate Biddle, do they?
They do not. They do not. His brother graduated too, but they're solid. Their starting five is solid.
That's a good athletic program.
Very athletic. Exactly. We played them this summer, and it was a good hard fought game. I'm high scoring actually. I think they got the better of us at that time. But again, that was one of those. Our effort wasn't consistent that game, and then we turned around and I think maybe played Eagle Point, and we were high energy, high motor, and we're very successful. But it'll be a good game. It'll be fun to go over there and play in a hostile environment, and, you know, be my first one on the road, so it'll be exciting.
Yeah, and then you really go on the road with that traditional trip down to Nevada. Let's see, what, Spanish Springs, Douglas, and Reno. You've played all those schools before, haven't you?
I've never played Reno personally. I know that Douglas and Spanish Springs we play every year, and then that third game's kind of a toss-up. This year we're playing Reno High School. A couple years ago we played Bishop Monroe. But yeah, they're all super competitive games, and that's the fun of it. It's taking the guys on the road, you know, going on the trip. The guys are going, oh, when are we staying in the hotel, coach? And that's their excitement. But I think it's fun to get in those environments, you know, and go far away, kind of be away from a lot of your friends and family, and it's just kind of that team bonding that's kind of fun for us.
I was going to say this road trip might be where the team really comes together as quote team. Put that together. That's where it begins to blossom there. Any problems on a long trip like that, other than the logistics?
I mean, not really. As long as the weather cooperates, I don't think it's really
we'll
challenge.
Pray for good weather.
Exactly.
All right. When you come back here, you go on the road again to Summit. You've got Lake Oswego in there. Oh, we missed one. Jesuits coming down here on the, is that the 16th?
I believe so, yeah.
So that's another home game.
Yep, yeah. So we played them last year up there. You know, obviously a story program. Mr. Potter's been doing a great job for a long time. So, yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun to get some success. You said there's one of the teams where you kind of never know with Jesuit. They usually get a lot of kids kind of coming in or coming out. So, but he's, I mean, they've been successful for, you know, as long as I can remember. I mean, back when I was in high school, they were successful. So that'll be a battle for us. But it'll be fun to get them on our home floor. It'll be a good time.
All right. You also are taking part in the Abbeys tournament at South Medford after Christmas. There are three. Actually, we've got two games there, and explain that what's going on for the folks.
Yeah, so it's usually Dorsey been a tournament, but I guess they struggled to get an eighth team, so now they only have seven teams. So some of the local teams down here will only get to play two games, which is fine. It'll still be fun. So we get to go over there, you know, play some teams traveling down. It's the first time we played in it, so it'd be fun to, again, play in those environments and those kind of those storied tournaments. You know, it's been around forever, and so.
We kind of classify this as a preseason. I understand that, but it looks to me like in the overall picture, this is still part of your basketball season, and it continues after with a game at Summit after the first of the year before you really get into conference. Do you treat those early games any differently than you would a conference contest?
You know, a little bit. I think early on especially, you're really just trying to figure out what's going to work. You know, you're changing – messing with lineups, messing with plays, messing with designs, messing with defensive schemes. And you're really using them as, I don't want to say a glorified practice, but in a way, you know, you're trying to see what works and what doesn't work. Obviously, in practice, you kind of understand that, but once you get in the fire, it's kind of like, oh, maybe we need to change some things up. So I think, especially those early two, three games, it's really trying to figure out what's working, what's not working, and then making those adjustments. Same thing with lineups, players, things like that as they come and go.
All right, now let's talk about the conference situation. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're following Caveman Sports at all, you're beginning to realize that there are two different conferences for football and basketball. It's a 9-team special district for football. And there's some travel considerations that have gone into, I guess, planning that at the USAA. But in basketball, we get back to more of a Southern Oregon conference. We've got Sheldon in there in South Eugene. But Roseburg is back in. And so it's a little more like what we're used to in the past.
Yeah. You know, you got three Eugene teams with Willamette being the third. And then, yes, North, South, and Roseburg. So, yeah, that old school, you know, kind of SOC type conference. You know, we get Crater this year. So I think
still have an SOC shirt can't wear anymore.
I do as well. So we can wear them together. So it's fun. It's fun to get to, you know, play those guys that you've been around for a long time.
All right, so that's happening, and we want to keep you abreast of all that, folks. Keep your dial set right here for Caveman Basketball. Now, I've got both head coaches here, and we talked about both things that are going on. Matt, do you have any suggestions to for Nate coming into this? And conversely, Nate, you've got some of his players coming back into your program right now. Is there sharing going on there between the two of you in terms of skill level or attitude or mindset for any of the players that might be in both sports?
Well, I mean, I think it's hopefully, and Nate and I both have kids close to the same age, you know, and trying to create programs that encourage and allow multi-sport participation, which in today's age is a tough thing to do, is something I think we're both committed to. We talked a little bit about the weight room and how, at this point in high school, kids that are bigger, faster, and stronger are going to be better at whatever sport they're playing. And so trying to invest in that. And to the extent that, yeah, these kids can become leaders in one program that carries over to the other and then hopefully carries over into the hallways at the school is something I think we can all work towards.
All right. Have you begun to see any of that leadership show through yet?
Yeah, I think so.
You're not new to this program. I keep because you've been the assistant coach for years here.
Yeah, I've been for a couple of years. So I do know a lot of the kids. And I think Jordan's came in and been super vocal. It's just his style. I think, you know, being a quarterback is you just like to bark at people, so that's what he does well. No, but he keeps them in line. I think early on, you know, our seniors have done a good job. I mean, unfortunately, some have been hurt. You know, Weston's hurt, Kingston Conley's been hurt, but and even Grady's kind of dealing with a little injury, but they've been around, and they're vocal, and they're keeping the guys kind of moving in the right direction of like, hey, this is kind of how we do things. Those younger guys that, you know, maybe played a lot of JV last year that weren't around the varsity guys or the varsity group, they're figuring that out. And we've had the seniors and I have had a lot of conversations. So I think it's kind of, and it's, they've done a great job of saying, hey, this is your guys' program. Like, I may be the head coach, but in reality, it's your program. You know, I'm going to instill what I think is right. And if you guys back me and instill that as well, I think we're going to get a lot of buy-in and that culture is going to be where we want it to be.
Getting ready for that first game. And I know getting into basketball shape is a lot different than football. Because football, you give everything you've got for about 10 or 15 seconds. Yeah, and then you stand up, put your hands on your hips, and get ready for the next play. You don't have that in basketball. You go all the time. So how much running have you got the guys doing?
You know, they're doing probably more than they want to. We're really trying to just not just make them run. It's more just how do we get it in drills? How do we make, I don't say running fun, but, you know, if you get into, you know, get a jump shot at the end of the run, it's, you think less about the running part and more about getting the shot.
Getting the shot right.
So, again, trying to just build that. And it allows us to kind of work on things while they're building their conditioning, but also, you know, get more shots up, get to the lane, dribble, pass, do all those things that you're trying to work on at the same time.
Okay. Have you looked ahead to the conference play right now? Is there a conference leader out there that you're pointing at who is a target? South Medford has always been very, very strong. Of course, you got a Sheldon in there, and that's a huge school with a lot of athletes to choose from, and in a great athletic environment there. What do you think of the conference right now? Are you going to win the championship?
I mean, I sure hope so. You know, that's always
on the spot here.
That's right. No, you know, that's always the goal. That's always the goal for every team, I think. You know, and you know, I think it's going to. We talked earlier. I think South is South. They play hard. They do a lot of good things for James. He makes, you know, they're very committed to what they do. And a lot of that's just, you know, playing out effort. I think a lot of teams are going to be good. Sheldon graduated, probably their four best players. But, you know, rumor has they got some transfer kids coming in, so we'll see what they look like. You know, they're only a second-year head coach there. I said South Eugene started three kids for 3 years, so this is their third time, and they have some size. Again, new head coach, so different. What will their style be? I think a lot of those unknowns, like we talked about with, you know, myself, Roseburg has a new head coach, South Eugene has a new head coach. Sheldon's coach only been there for 2 years. So what are those unknowns? Will Lambert the same way? Well, Lambert, you never know when you got so many football kids kind of coming in and out. Do some of those kids play basketball? You know, I mean, you know, the Cumberland kid played basketball last year, and they just don't make him 6'5", 275 pounds very often.
No.
So it's, you never know. I think they're kind of the wild card. And North is traditionally just, they want to get up and down. They want to shoot it. And they're always a challenge going there and battling them. So it's fun. I think it's, I told you, things gonna be, every game's going to be a battle, I think. It's not one team, I don't think, going to run away with it. As long as we're competing every game and we're in it, I like our chances.
All right. Quick question here. I'm just going to pull out of my back pocket. Have you ever won on Roseburg's floor?
You know, it's terrifying to say. I've never in my playing or coaching career won at Roseburg. And the worst part is my wife actually went to Roseburg High School, and she still holds it over.
She went to Roseburg High School.
I always say I sold my soul, but no. But I've never won there. I mean, as a JV coach, as a player, a football, basketball, baseball player, I never won a game at Roseburg. And so I'm really hoping we break that streak this year.
Oh, okay. Has she come over to the good side yet, out of the dark side?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now she comes and goes, wow, we get away with a lot up here. And I just laugh at her.
All right. Gentlemen, Matt Kennedy, Nate Olson, I want to thank you very much for your time tonight. First of all, Matt, any suggestions for Nate or things that you'd like to share with him or just cheer him on at this point?
No, at this point, I'm not going to dole out advice. I'm just going to be a supporter and kind of excited to go watch. There's quite a few boys right now that are overlapping, that are coming from the football field and heading out to basketball. And it's going to be fun to watch those guys go out and in a different venue, compete and grow and develop.
All right, Nate, anything you'd like to say to Matt about how you'd like his football players to come over to your program next year?
Healthy? No. You know, actually, I go, hey, Matt, can you just make sure the six-year-old AAU group does good this year? Matt coaches our six-year-old AAU, so he says he has a break, but he really doesn't.
Yeah, really. All right. Gentlemen, you're both carrying the caveman colors brilliantly and with the class that this high school deserves. We thank you both very much for your time and your effort with our young men. And all of you.
Okay, man.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. We want to thank both of them very much. Want to tip our hats to Abby's Pizza. This is the final Caveman Corner of the year. With the basketball schedule, it just doesn't work. So we're going to wrap things up here. Thank everybody concerned, including Abby's Pizza and all of you listeners. Stay tuned for Caveman Basketball here on KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.